Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, found in the Pew Bible on page 912. First, let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. For Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Another time, Jesus went to the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed as their stubborn hearts said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Wow. So that was great. This is not that good. Thank you, Emmy. So the tension in the text is because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Sabbath was a day of worship, a day of rest. Healing a neighbor is a good thing. It just needs to happen at the right time, and that's not today, according to them. It should wait. The Hebrew scriptures refer to this day as the Sabbath. In the early church, in recognition of Easter, the day of worship was moved to Sunday and called the Lord's Day. In either way, it is a day set apart from all the other days. Jesus entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. There was a man with a withered hand. Jesus heals him, and it made the preachers of his day angry. He violated the commandment, they said. It's not supposed to happen today. It's not a bad thing, just not today. This is a day of rest, and to heal is to work. You're violating the Lord's commandment. Now, that sounds silly to us, but I grew up with Sabbath observance being silly. I asked my grandmother if I could go to the pool. She said, "Of course not. The pool is not open on Sunday," she said, but she was right about that. The blue laws of that South Carolina village closed the pool and the grocery store and I would say the theater, but they didn't have one in her town, and most everything except the church. But she continued, "Even if the pool were open, no child of this house is going to go to the pool on Sunday. Sunday is a day of rest. Just watching you in the pool is exhausting. It's out of the question." In time, after some perseverance on my part, she would allow us to wear our swimsuits and run through the sprinkler in the backyard only, you understand. Even then, I admit, my grandmother sounded more like the Pharisees in this story than like Jesus, a comparison that would stun her, by the way. So what is this passage about, really? My grandmother was not wrong about this. It's a day of rest. Some of you are sleeping now. That's a faithful choice. Maybe not the most faithful choice in this moment, but among the choices, it's a faithful option. We all need rest. You just can't go forever. You can't. I know many of you, you're running all the times, you're running on fumes, you push and push. We are driven to accomplish, to produce, to succeed, to create. We're overscheduled, overbooked, outstretched, and overworked. Diana Butler Bass, a scholar of contemporary Christian practices, she notes that the Sabbath commandment is treated differently than the other of the Ten Commandments. She said, we violate all of the commandments. We break all 10 of the commandments. But the Sabbath, breaking the Sabbath commandment is the only one we will brag about. I would be happy to observe Sabbath. I just don't have time. So I want to tell you today, rest is spiritual work. I will share this with you with an admitted degree of embarrassment, actually. But several years ago, I realized, with the encouragement of some of my family, I realized I'd gone probably about 4 years without a regular day off. I took time off. There was just no rhythm to my rest. You know why, don't you? You couldn't do without me. My work was so important and I was indispensable. You laughed at that really quicker than I hoped you would. I was young, I was strong, but slowly and without question, I got depressed. I was not my best self. Some would say I was not always fun to be around, if you can imagine. I was depressed because I was exhausted, not just of body, but of spirit. You may know what I'm talking about. Rest is spiritual work. Let me ask you something. How many of you have a way to check your email right now? Don't fib, I can see the light reflecting in your glasses. How many of you were at dinner sometime this week and stopped to take a phone call or make a phone call to respond to a text or send a text? How many of you on your last vacation checked your email every day? One of the realities of our time and culture is it's hard to have set apart time. There was a time when work time was a bit more clearly defined and non-work time was a bit more clearly defined than it is now. But today our work can be with us all the time. We don't have time. Time has us. And one of the realities of being just a child of God and not God is we have to rest. We have to. It's spiritual work. So this day is a day of rest. Sabbath literally means to stop, to cease, to not do what you do all the other days, to rest. But it's more nuanced than that. It's not just rest, and that's a good thing, because if this day were just about rest, then the subtle implication is we rest. Why? So that we can go back to work tomorrow more energized and efficient. The theological implication is that you exist to work. That rest just gives you what you need to work. And work is good. Work is meaningful. Work can make a difference for you and for the world. But we are not human because we work. We are human because we love. So we take a day apart from work to remind ourselves what makes us human. One student of the text wrote, "For Christians in our time, the issue is less a matter of stopping work and more a matter of perceiving time properly." I think that makes sense. The Sabbath commandment is less about work, it's more about time. At the root of this practice is the calling to recognize that every day is God's gift, and so it is to be lived for God's purposes. My friend Ellen Skidmore, a preacher in South Carolina, she once observed, "Sabbath observance may be one of the most ethical practices in our culture." She may be right about that. Because this day is not just about this day. What we do on this day is about what we do on every other day. You see, this day is set apart that we might remember what we are for. The point is not just to get this day right. We try to get this day right so that we can get every day right. It's about the purpose of time, and you know what that purpose is. You were created to what? To love God with all that you are, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what time is for. But as the days march by, we tend to forget. And so we need to remind ourselves again. This day is about rest, but it's also about investing in our primary relationships, God and neighbor. There's a wonderful moment in Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. You remember Atticus Finch is the attorney, and he is raising two children, Jim and Scout. And Scout gets probation from school for fighting. She says she was too old and big for such childish behavior, but Cecil Jacobs made her forget that. He announced in school the day before that Scout's daddy defended blacks. Cecil Jacobs used a different word for that. Scout said, "I denied it, but I ask Atticus, do you defend blacks?" Scout used a different word for that. "Of course I do," said Atticus, "and don't use that word, it's common." "It's what everybody in school says," Scout responds. "From now on, it will be everybody less one." "Well, if you don't want me to grow up talking that way, why do you send me to school?" If you go to school, if you go to work, if you go at all, there will be voices that will pull you away from yourself, draw you away from your purpose to love God and neighbor. We are not human because of our work. We are human because of our relationships. The Lord's Day is about rest because you need it. God knows you need it. But the Lord's Day is about relationships. It's why we're here, to practice our love for God and one another. Because here's the truth. Just like last week, this coming week, you're going to give yourself away. Every moment you have, you're going to give yourself away to something. You want to make sure that you're giving yourself away to that which matters. I heard the story of a man who was an antique shopper, and he stumbled into an antique shop in New York, actually. And as he was sort of surveying what was around, he spotted an ancient Chinese dish, pottery from the Ming Dynasty. It was invaluable. It was clear to him the shop owner had no idea what he had because he was using it as a milk bowl for his cat. And so the guy spots a bargain. He walked up to the owner and he said, "You know, that's a great cat you got there." He said, "How about sell me your cat?" The guy said, "Oh, couldn't possibly do that. Love the cats, but it's just mostly not that great a cat. He's mostly here to keep the mice away." And the guy said, "Oh, I really like your cat. How about $500 for the cat?" He said, "$500 for the cat?" He said, "Yeah, I really like the cat." He said, "Okay, deal. Cat's yours, $500. The man said, "You know, just so the cat would be comfortable with new owner, how about let me throw in an extra $10 for that milk bowl?" The owner said, "Oh, I couldn't possibly do that. You won't believe it, but that's actually pottery from the Ming Dynasty. It's the most valuable thing I have in the store. I couldn't possibly separate from that. Enjoy the cat." So here's the point. You're going to give yourself away to something. Make sure it's that which matters. Jesus looked at a man with a withered hand. He said, "Stretch it out." He did. It was a good thing to do. People got confused. They were more worried about the rules than the relationships. They were more worried about the practice than the love. Mercy is always holy. Compassion is always holy. Generosity is always holy. Relationship is always holy. But the rest of the days, there'll be voices that'll tell you something else, and we're going to forget. So we need to come back to rest, body and spirit, and to remember what we're for. My friend Michael's pastor retired now, but when his daughter was a young teenager, she was gifted in gymnastics and other abilities, and so she excelled on the cheerleading squad. And Michael's wife called him once and said, "She's at the game. Can you swing by the school and pick her up after the game?" He picked her up and three other little middle school cheerleaders. They were all in the minivan, all talking at one time. But Michael pushed himself into the conversation, and he said, "Who won today?" They didn't know. He said, well, "What other school did you play today?" They didn't know. They didn't know. He thought he'd give a softball. He said, "So, what sport was it?" They didn't know. They didn't know. Now, you might think they were just being flighty cheerleader middle school girls, but maybe they were the only ones who knew the best way to use that afternoon. Because some others might have gone home from the game, whatever it was, remembering the score or play. But Michael's daughter spent her afternoon in friendship. She knew what was important. We need this day. Because you're not God, you're just a child of God. So sometimes you have to rest. You just do. And we need this day because there are a lot of other days and you want to get them right. So you need to remember what you're for, to love God in one another. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Fill me up now, take control.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.